Welcome in to the Daily Tap for Sunday, January 7th. I'm Charlie. I am here with you, maybe a little hungover. Had some fun last night. It was a great night. Like I said in the podcast yesterday, Daily Tap, you can listen to that, that it was a great night to kind of do the bar scene, given the fact that you had the Bucks, Marquette, and the NFL playoffs on same time frame. Brathouse did a great job setting us up. They took care of us. So shout out to the Brathouse. If you want to sponsor Wet That Beak, let me know. We can make that happen. But they also have an Absolute deal. And I was just slugging Absolutes and soda way too many for any man. So we're having fun. Probably gonna do a little hair of the dog after this. Watch the Bills and Jags. We'll be talking about the Bucks as well as a little bit of Marquette, and then recapping the games yesterday. It was kind of funny. I told my roommate Mike. I said, "Hey, you know, I think all the favorites could win this week. I don't necessarily think this is gonna be that weird. And I should have known, given the kind of weird and strangeness of the NFL." That this was going to go bad. And both teams that I thought were going to win lost. My Rams, who I was very excited to watch all season, you know, they kind of looked like a team who was in the playoffs for the first time. Sean McVay, same thing. And that just, man, it was a bummer. It was a bummer to see. It was not great. So happens. At least the Bucks won. Too bad to see Marquette fall as well, but I don't think anyone expected that. You could have made some really good money if you would have parlayed Marquette with the two teams, and hey, you would have had yourself a nice little Sunday of money. But of course, I didn't. My roommate also shamed me into trying to start betting. He's like, "You talk about lines all the time, but why don't you just have a Bovada account?" And I'm like, "Mike, I can't do it. I don't know." But who knows? Maybe we'll put out a poll question and you guys can vote if I should actually have a Bovada account, and we'll go from there. I'm rambling to start this podcast. It's obviously an effect of the hangover. That's what I'm going to call it. All right, the Bucks last night. Knight got a bounce back win. As Big Sean would say, last night I took an L, but tonight I bounced back. That was basically the Milwaukee Bucks. After they get embarrassed at home, they play in Washington, where they haven't won since 2015, and they win the game. That was, or 2013, excuse me. They haven't won there since before Giannis, and they get it done. They have a 28, they outscore the Wizards by 10 points in the fourth quarter, holding the 18 points. They came out flat, and yet they came back and won this game. Giannis had a fantastic game. 34 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. I think that's the best line I've seen from Giannis in quite some time. We had mentioned, I think, in a couple Daily Taps ago about how his usage rate was kind of down a little bit. And, you know, was that a cause of Bledsoe? Was it a cause of concern? But Bledsoe and Giannis both had a great fourth quarter. Giannis even had a quote that the fourth quarter is Bledsoe time. The keg, as some people like to call him, or the EKG, combined for 75 points. Middleton had 20 points. Bledsoe had 21. But yes, Eric Bledsoe hits this three-pointer, and they're up one. And this game was tight really all the way through, and they're up one. There's about two or three minutes to go, and you're like, "What are you doing?" It was not a good shot, but Wizards defender gave him a ton of space, and he nails this three, drills it to push the lead out to four. And that was kind of the dagger, because they didn't stop. And Giannis hit clutch buckets. He's 20 of 30 this year with a 66% in clutch situations. That is incredible. And Giannis is starting to make these big shots in big moments and these jumpers and look out NBA. If Giannis is doing this on a regular basis, this is going to be fun. And the Bucks just need to get to those clutch moments. But yes, they hung around. I mean, that Wizards team could have easily blown them out early in this game, and the Bucks didn't let it happen. So they played tough defense, even though the offense really wasn't working in the first half, and they figured it out as the game went on. So the Bucks deserve a ton of credit. That was a huge win for them. As Mitch, podcast partner, pointed out as I was out with him last night, you know, this is a team that it has the same sort of record as the Bucks. They actually, both teams have the same losses. The only reason the Wizards are higher than the Bucks is they have two more wins. They've played two more games. But They're right now the 4-5 seed in the East. And so these games are very important, and these are gonna matter. And so now you're 1-1 with the Wizards. I don't know if they have two more games left or one more game left, but it's a very important win for Milwaukee against a very good Wizards team who was 13-6 at home before losing last night. So like the Bucks, they're a good team at home, and that's a very good win. And now they go to Indiana on Monday, which has gotten a lot harder than when they played them on Wednesday, as Victor Oladipo has returned. So we'll see if they're able to do what they did last night. Also, a little drama. These two teams have had a little bit of a rivalry. I think if they did play each other in a playoffs, I think it would be a ton of fun, because I think both these teams don't necessarily like each other. And Bradley Beal was coming down, and the Bucks needed to foul because it was a fast break, and Matthew Dellavedova kind of clotheslined him. And I know Bradley Beal's like, there's no place in the game for that and everything like that, but I don't think I agree with the broadcast. I agree with Marcus Johnson and Jim Paschke in saying that. I think Beal was moving too fast, and you know, did Delly go high? Sure. But I don't know if that was a flagrant two. Obviously it looked like a flagrant two, but I don't think Delly was trying to do exactly what Beal, and it comes with his reputation. It's because Matthew Dellavedova is a known shithead in the league, and people don't like him, and so immediately they assume that he's out there doing dirty shit. I don't think that was a dirty play. I get what Bradley Beal's trying to say, but it's clear that this adds to that rivalry. And Delly was thrown out in the fourth quarter and things like that. Other Bucks news, DeAndre Liggins got waived. Thank God. John Horst listening to the Daily Tap. He's hearing us. There was some talk maybe about bringing Andrew Bogut back. He's getting waived by the Lakers. We'll see if that happens. They're bringing up Xavier Mumford. He's been on the Wisconsin Herd, who's been shooting lights out. So Bucks add another shooter. Who knows if Jason Kidd will even give him a look, though. You never know. And apparently, according to Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel, it means that Joel Bomboy or Sean Kilpatrick will have to leave the team because they're both on the two-way contracts. I'm not sure. I personally would keep Kilpatrick. I understand that Kidd really hasn't seen a use for him, but I think Kilpatrick is kind of that microwave that the Bucks are missing, unless they think Mumford can do the same thing. But Mumford's really kind of unproven, hasn't done it in the league. So quick little note about Marquette last night. They fall to Villanova 100-90. It was not a great defensive effort, as you can guess by the score for Marquette. They looked overmatched multiple times with Villanova's offense. Jay Wright kind of ran circles around Steve Wojciechowski, which happened in the past. I mean, even though Marquette had the amazing win last year against Villanova, they trailed in that game by 17 points. I mean, it was an amazing effort by Marquette to win that basketball game a year ago. And Villanova still is light years ahead of Marquette. I will say I commend Marquette for competing in that game. They never really gave up. They could have easily got, you know, housed by 20 points, and Marquette kept fighting. They kept battling back, but they could never get the game past 6 or 7 points. It just sort of went back and forth because Villanova would get a bucket. Marquette wouldn't get the clutch buckets. Sakar Anum missing one of those free throws as they got a turnover late really hurt. And Villanova, got to give them a lot of credit for being clutch with free throws. I mean, they made so many free throws down the stretch that if they would have at least kept the door, let the door open go a little bit, Marquette may have had a chance. So rough loss for Marquette, and it doesn't get any easier on Tuesday night heading back to the Bradley Center, playing a red-hot Seton Hall team who's 3-0. Angel Delgado has been a monster in the league, but he's also been a monster against Marquette in the past. So could be a really tough one. Seton Hall has given this team fits. You'd like to think that maybe Marquette could figure something out and score what would be a big win and avoid going 1-3 in conference. Now, granted, that 1-3, no one's going to be upset about when you see they've lost to Xavier, they've lost to Villanova, and if they would lose to Seton Hall. But you'd like to get one of those just to start kind of building those resume wins, right? And start making your case. Their KenPom number, they're up to number 48. I think Payne Touches had that last night. It's the highest they've been all season. So it's clear that people are noticing the fact that even though Marquette is, quote, on the bubble, they've been playing teams who are going to be locks for the tournament. They're playing them well. So it's good to see, and it's good to see that Marquette, you know, is taking care of business. moving on to the NFL playoffs last night, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, it was a very surprising thing. You know, the Chiefs go up 21-3 and at halftime, and just like, why are the Titans even in the playoffs? Mike Mularkey is going to get fired. Marcus Mariota looks like complete trash. And then all of a sudden, the Tennessee Titans come back and the Chiefs once again shit their pants at home. I mean, how many times can Kansas City just fuck it up in the playoffs before it's a sneaky, underrated, tormented franchise. Now, granted, they have a Super Bowl long time ago, but they are kind of a snake-bitten franchise, and it continued to show last night. We were watching the Titans come back, and I think it was Mike or Mitch said, you know, didn't they blow like a huge lead 2 years ago against the Colts? And you kind of forget about that game, but that game was bonkers. I mean, they were up like 35-6, and then Andrew Luck brings them all the way back to win this game, and it was just bananas. Marcus Mariota kind of had his moment. I mean, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns. One of those touchdowns went to himself. He looked great in the second quarter, looked great in the second half, looked great in the fourth quarter. Sean McDonough called him Mr. Fourth Quarter, which was kind of weird, but whatever, do you, Sean McDonough. Derrick Henry goes 156 yards on 23 carries. That Chiefs defense has never really been good against the run all year. Henry continued to show that. I think the Titans need to sunset the DeMarco Murray experience and let Derrick Henry be the guy, because he is such a bruiser, especially in the fourth quarter. Oh, they were calling Henry Mr. Fourth Quarter. Excuse me. I had that wrong, because Henry wears guys down, and he's done it in Alabama, and he's doing it in the pros, where these people get tired of tackling him. And it was really great. And Andy Reid, you know, Kareem Hunt finally started getting the ball a little bit in the offense. And, of course, Andy goes back to only giving him the ball 11 times in this game, 42 yards. Yeah, I know Titans are a good team against the run, but, man, you got to give them the ball. So Titans will either play New England, which the spread would probably be 14, or they'll see Pittsburgh if the Bills were to win. Falcons-Rams, I thought this game was really surprising. I don't know where we can say it was surprising, from the Rams defense not really being able to get a stop. I mean, you know, Falcons scored multiple times in that game. You know, they had 3 field goals and a couple touchdowns. You know, the Julio Jones play was fantastic in the red zone. That was the best thing Steve Sarkisian has done all year. And they just couldn't get a stop. Their defense looked very, very weak against Matt Ryan, who hasn't been really that good all year, and goes 21-30, 218 yards. That was a pretty good night for Matt Ryan. I mean, QB rating a little over 100. He had an efficient night. You know, Tavon Austin, Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman combined for about 124 on the ground, also kind of like a running back share, but they wear down that Rams defense. And then Julio Jones, 9 catches, 94 yards and a touchdown. Julio kind of had that one game we haven't really seen from him all year. And people, you know, it was kind of like, oh, you're all in big trouble. And are the Falcons going to kind of put it all together here? I mean, that was the most complete I've seen the Atlanta Falcons all season. I think that was the best they've looked. I think that is a team that could be feared. Now, Bill Simmons has the gambling manifesto, where you want to make sure you don't look at a team who looks so good at the wild card weekend. You know, now they go to Philadelphia. It'll be cold. They're going away from the dome or the warm weather. We'll see how they do. I know Nick Foles has been bad, and I know that pass defense, Julio, should light up that secondary. But still, that is a tough game, and Matt Ryan hasn't been good against the blitz all year. So we'll see if he can handle the Philadelphia heavy pass rush, and that should be a good game. And we'll see what happens. Well, thoughts on the Rams, real quick. I just want to go back to the Rams and just their season. I think the future is really bright for Sean McVay and that team. And the Todd Gurley, I thought that he didn't use Todd Gurley as well as he should have. I mean, Todd Gurley only gets the ball 14 times, 101 yards. I mean, this guy is the damn near MVP. You know, Gurley seeing the ball in four. I get that they were trailing in this game, but Atlanta, even though they're great against the run, he had a 7.2 average, and it's like, what are you doing? How did Todd Gurley only see the ball 14 times? He also had 4 catches for 10 yards. So he had 22 touches over, or no, he didn't even have 22. He had 18 touches in this game. And in a playoff game, you have to let Todd Gurley touch the ball. I mean, Jared Goff throwing the ball 45 times is a ridiculous amount. Man,
And Sean, you wonder if this, the playoffs kind of got to Sean McVay and he sort of got out of what he's been doing all year long. And the Rams will be back. I don't think that they're going to play a much tougher schedule next year, playing likes of Philadelphia, playing Green Bay. They got to play Minnesota again. They got to play New Orleans. So they're going to have a tougher schedule. But at the same time, I think they can be back and be as good and be the kind of the kings of the NFC. I know NFC West. I know Jimmy Garoppolo is coming for that crown, and there's going to be a lot of hype. But future is bright for the Rams, and we'll see what happens there. Okay, wrapping this up so I can go get something in my hungover belly. Hope you guys enjoyed this. We'll be back tonight to get Monday's podcast up. We'll talk a lot about the college football playoff, maybe a little Joel Philbin talk, and recap the games today. Also, too, maybe some Golden Globes talk. So, because who knows how that's going to be with all the Trump stuff, the Harvey Weinstein stuff. We'll see if things get kind of weird tonight with Seth Meyers being the host. So, Tappers, take care. Have a good Sunday. Throw this on while you're watching the games today. Subscribe. You can find us on all the social media channels, SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then subscribe on iTunes. Maybe leave us a rating. We'd always appreciate it. So take care. Have a good Sunday. See you.